Finding this podcast magical? Why not toss a coin to your Witches and a Druid podcast through the Acast supporter feature? It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to show your support now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Three Witches and a Druid podcast, a Canadian podcast about paganism in today's modern society.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Three Witches and a Druid, where we sit around currently drinking mead and talk about our lives living as modern pagans. I'm Margot.
And I'm Maeve.
Gwen.
And I'm Brian. And we have guests today.
Yay! Yay!
Lo is with us. You want to introduce yourself a little?
Hi, everybody. I'm Lo. I am a witch and a druid now.
Join the worst sex cult ever.
Oh, yes. Love it. And I am also a scientist currently working towards getting my PhD.
Which is today's topic. Science and spirituality. Now, before we move on, what's the vintage of this mead? Like, tell us.
2020.
What? Oh, okay, so it's not like super old.
Made at Beltane.
Made at Beltane, okay.
Yeah.
It's very good. All right, so yeah, today's topic is science and spirituality. It's something that's come up a few times. Listeners' comments and thoughts and opinions about how we, as modern-day pagans, deal with the world of science and physics and quantum entanglements and blah, blah, blah. Stuff all over my head. That's why we have a special guest. Because we don't know anything. And she is almost has a PhD.
That doesn't mean I know anything. I know that, things in a specific area.
That kind of almost sounds like a black belt. A black belt realizes that they know nothing. I think that's sort of what a PhD must feel like, mm-hmm. in a way, that you know enough to know there's so much more to know.
I have a theoretical PhD in physics. Does that count?
Oh my gosh. Was that a dad joke?
No, it's a good joke from Fallout New Vegas.
All right. So, Dr. Brian.
Yeah. Okay, so basically, as an individual who has to go to university and sit in a lab and mm-hmm. study this sort of thing, how do you balance that with going out into the woods and believing in fairies and burning shit?
Oh yeah, all that. Love it. I mean, everybody here has day jobs. So.
Yes, but my job for the government does not exactly contradict my spiritual beliefs.
I mean,
actually, if anything, it enforces it, because I mean, you know, I need to speak to the rest of society, and it's like, oh,
yeah,
we're headed to a terrible place.
Oh boy. All of my lab mates know I'm pagan. I have told them multiple stories about camping in the summer and the rituals that I've gone to. They all know that I was working towards joining the Grove, and they're all super happy for me when that happened. And so they're all super supportive. So, like, I've made jokes about, like, we could hex the prof that you really don't like if you want. Like, we could figure that out. jokes. I wouldn't hex someone. It was just for fun. For laughs.
Did you miss that episode with the tiny little hexes?
Little jinxes, like little, like, go step on a Lego, like that stuff.
Yeah.
Love it. It's also, like, you know, like, I have my spiritual beliefs. A lot of people have their spiritual beliefs. Like, I see people around the chemistry department wearing a cross necklace, for example. Or I know there's students in the sciences that will wear a hijab to school.
Right.
And nothing wrong with that. That's totally cool. No one would say anything about that. I'll wear pentacle earrings to school and it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So there's lots of religions and spirituality still in the world of science. So in our path of Druidry, we're strong believers in science anyways. It's not that you can believe it. You have to believe it. It's literally straight right there in front of you. There's, mm-hmm. yeah.
So, I mean, the life cycles of plants, you know, the wheel of the year is science.
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah. Science has finally caught up to mysticism. They can prove the chakras are there. They can prove auras are there. They can prove ley lines in the earth. You know, all of this quantum entanglement and everything is all being proven by science, all the energy fields. So for me, it's very simple. They walk hand in hand. You can look at it either way. Some people see it as divine. Some people see it as science. Whatever floats your boat.
Can I ask more about that? That's starting to get into, like, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that kind of territory.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's what this show's about.
Like, specifically, could you expand maybe on the chakra one, for example?
Yeah, they can use, it started back in the 50s with Carillion photography. The Carillions were a Russian couple who, for the very first time during their photography, they managed to take a picture of the aura of a plant. So they could prove that there's an energy field around plants. So this is when this started. You can use, oh God, Cass and Dawn have one. I think it's called an electromagnetic speedometer something or another that they use. And in a far more advanced lab, they can detect the energy centers of chakras on people.
Ooh, look at that. So, and it's confirmed. Carillion photography is a collection of photographic techniques used to capture the phenomenon of electrical coronal discharges around living beings, plants, and humans.
Huh. Yeah, the it's like the corona of the moon.
So I'm gonna go science mode here and give my science answer. Yeah, like, right.
That's why we invited you here. That's what
Wouldn't
we want.
Wouldn't it be awkward if we were like, well, we don't really want
to hear. I don't want to hear my science take. So
you do your science take.
So the science take is that, first off, that's very interesting. I would have to look into that more.
Well, I can send because you links, apparently.
If you want to send me the links, I'll take a look at it, but I can't. I'm sorry, like, that's something I would not take at face value. I wouldn't just be like, oh yeah, that's a thing, only hearing it from a friend, right?
Oh no, you go look it up. You go look it up. All kinds of science-y sort of things since then.
Because the thing is, there's just so many, there's so much pseudoscience and so many ways that data can be manipulated or just presented in certain ways that is not accurate. A big thing within science is repetition and replication. So if it's not a phenomena that can be repeated and seen by other people in other labs throughout the world, then it's not going to be accepted by the scientific community. Another thing regarding the photographs, which was throwing up a little bit of a flag for me, is you're talking about a energy field or corona around the plant. I've seen photos or looked at stuff where it's like, oh, you can see the aura of whatever it is in the photo, and it's nothing but an artifact of the photography. So
that can happen too, yes indeed.
Yeah, so I would be curious as to what the photo is actually looking at and if it is just an artifact or it actually is something, because I'm sure that plants give off plenty of things. They could give off metabolites or anything, like pheromones into the air. Like, I could see that happening for sure. Maybe, I don't know, like, humans give off heat. If you were to take a heat kind of image of someone, you would see that kind of pulsating, like, outward from them.
Well, the heat is energy.
Yeah. Yes. Heat is energy. But as far as something else, I don't know.
All right. So, Carillion photography is a collection of photographic techniques used to capture the phenomenon of electrical coronal discharges. It is named after the Soviet scientist Simon Carillion, who in 1939 accidentally discovered if an object on a photographic plate is connected to a high voltage source, an image is produced on the photographic plate. The technique has been variously known as electrography, coronal discharge, bioelectrography, blah, blah, blah.
Hmm.
It was first discovered in 1889 by the Czechs, redone in 1998 by the Polish, done again in 1939 by two Czechs. I'm not going to read these names because I'm not going to get them wrong. Right. And then finally in 1939, reproduced by Russian electrical engineer Simon Carillion and his wife Valentina. They developed the technique scientifically. They conducted experiments in which photographic film was placed atop of a conducting plate and another conductor was attached to a hand, a leaf, or a plant material. The conductors were energized by a high-frequency, high-voltage power source, producing photographic images typical showing silhouette of the object surrounded by an aura of light. In 1958, the Carillions reported the results of their experiments for the first time. Their work was virtually unknown until 1970, when two Americans published a book, Psychic Discoveries Behind the Iron Curtain. High voltage electrophotography soon became known to the general public is Krillian photography. Although little interest was generated among Western scientists, Russians held a conference on the subject in 1972 at a Kazakh state university. The theory has not been put to the test due to Cold War issues.
It's very interesting. I have thoughts.
And what you said earlier about, you know, things in photographs as a photographer as well. And as I was listening to you, I completely forgot that Brian was a photographer, but my photography training was all on 4x5 negatives.
Yeah.
So we did no digital photography at all. It was all on negatives.
But the amount of artifacts and orbs and stuff.
Well, that's the thing. I, as a photographer, super skeptical about orbs and things in photographs, because there's just so many things that can create them. So yes, I too am skeptical on that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I have seen photographs that there are things in them that cannot be explained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are your
thoughts? So after reading, I'm going to assume that was like a wiki article.
Oh, yeah. I'm not reading academic papers.
No, that would be a lot of effort. Okay, so first off, sounds like it's a very interesting phenomena. Making a photo using electric currents, that sort of thing. I can totally see that being a thing. I was with you up until you got to the point where there was something about some book with the word psychic in the title.
Yeah, so there's a large emphasis on the parapsychology, but there is a whole chapter here about how it was dismissed because it was Russian science and Western science had turned it into this parapsychology thing where Russians were trying to treat it as a scientific thing. So you're anti-Russian.
Well, you didn't grow up Cold War. It was all, if they said that the sky was blue, we said it wasn't, and vice versa.
And let's be honest, putting that in a book title is like a clickbait title. There might be good news in the content of whatever that clickbait title is, or there may not be. You don't know. We didn't have social media, putting psychic or something, like the 70s, the amount of pyramid stuff and the amount of psychic, like, and we were really interested in what was coming out of Russia. Because,
Did you know that when Russia first launched Sputnik, it was here in Nova Scotia that they first found out?
I was unaware of that.
Yeah.
Get out.
Teleglobe down towards Bridgewater was the first site to notice that Sputnik had been launched. It was here in Nova Scotia.
That's cool.
But anyway, so the point is that there was this concept of auras. Somebody said, oh, this is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. We could kind of see it, but no one ever did enough research. And we don't know what this aura is. We don't know.
Yeah.
It's just electrical discharge.
Yeah, so that's the one other point I would add is that, okay, you're creating some image on a piece of photo paper using electrical current.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
That's it. That's all you can take from that. You can't say it's an aura. And then I would ask, well, like, what's your definition of an aura and how, like, I would say that just that photo does not prove anything about the existence of auras.
No, but it definitely weighs more in the favor of that something could be there that's not explained.
Oh, yeah, there's so many things that aren't explained.
It suggests something, for sure.
So looking at us in the room, none of us are seeing...
No.
An aura, but to have some sort of scientific method to say, oh, this is kind of cool, there's an aura, we don't know what that means.
That would be neat for somebody in the Western world to explore.
I'm sure it has been somewhere or something.
You would think we would know about it.
Dirty Russian science.
Oh, but I mean, well, the other thing is it's an expensive process to get a PhD in time, effort, money, and you want to get through the process and not get shot down when you're defending your thesis. If anybody lets you get that far, right? So a reputable thing is a reputable institution may not endorse.
This is also along the same lines, and you got to keep in mind not to go back into like history. This is not a history podcast. There's a reason America got to the nuclear bomb before the Germans. Because the Germans, it's true. Have you guys not seen the movie? The Germans would not accept
Jewish
physics. Yeah, okay. So they went a whole different direction. And the Americans took Einstein.
Oppenheimer.
And they ran with it and they got it. Because of some terrible political
bias. Yes.
So even like in science, through history, that exists. And there's
We see a lot of that. And historically, archaeology suffers from that. People will interpret things that finds from the culture that they're in and the expectations they have of what was happening before. And then they do DNA and they find out that classic warrior burial was a woman. And then they have to think about, was there really Scandinavian women that fought?
Wasn't it just like within the last few years that they discovered that, we're talking about Norse, that there was several individuals in Norse burials that were from the Middle East.
Yeah.
But they denied it.
Yeah.
Until society woke up and said, we can only deny this so far.
Here in North America, there was finds of people on the West Coast that dated way pre-Landbridge stuff. The guy got run out of his university. Oh. He was shamed. And it was, 20, 30 years before DNA caught up to the thing. But he redid his experiments. And so, yes, it's not foolproof. Peer review isn't foolproof, but it's the best we have, isn't it?
Yeah.
In today's society, science, of course, is to a certain level that requires a certain amount of peer review, a certain amount of testing, a certain amount of various variables to be proven. But that doesn't necessarily apply throughout history, as we know.
Yeah. On that topic of pre-Landbridge settlement, you go to Port of Choix in Newfoundland, and they have the red ochre people there, these red ochre people who they found their graves and whatnot. They predate the Landbridge settlement by 15,000 years, and they're in Newfoundland.
Yeah.
But there's lots of backlash and people lost careers over it and that sort of thing. So we can set up systems like peer review, things, and things still fail because we're all human and whatever. But I would think that a lot of things like studying of auras or chakras would be really hard to get past a
computer
approved for study.
Do you find that you run into any other things like on your pagan path so far that you're like, I can't buy into that. I'm sure there's lots.
I mean, for a while I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe in gods. I can't believe in magic. Like, I'm a scientist. I can't do this. Like, what am I doing? There was this whole, crisis in my brain about that for a while.
Yeah. But I feel the same way with the fae, and then every time I say that, I get punished.
No fairies. No fairies.
Yeah, don't want to mess with that.
I don't do fairies.
So I'm not sure if you're aware of this group, but there is, and I think they mostly meet online, and I think there's more of them, more groups now, but they're called Aethiopagans.
Oh, yeah.
So I facilitate for somebody in one of the prisons who he came to me and he said, I see value in ritual. I see value in this and the relationship with environment and all of those things, but I can't do the supernatural. It's not, no gods, no ghosts, no this, no that. And I'm like, okay. And this is a few years ago before it was a big thing. And so I did some Google and I thought, what can I bring this guy? And I came across this Aethiopagan group and that book
book.
Yeah. And he has in a lot of ways, very UU like principles and those sorts of things like the Universalist Unitarians. And they focus on ritual, they focus on observing the environment and being connected with the environment.
They follow the wheel of the year.
They follow the wheel of the year. So it's very interesting. They have a podcast, if people are interested. This particular group, anyway, called The Wonder, Science-Based Paganism, I think it's called. I listen to it because you never know what you're going to learn, right? Yeah, so it's another way of approaching it. Mm-hmm. For people that struggle, the one person, the guy that originated or first wrote the book.
I think his name is Mark Green, I'm pretty sure.
I was going to say it's Mark or Mike.
And yeah, Mark Green.
I listen really closely, can tell. But anyway, he drifted from a pagan movement into this belief system. Like he realized, I can't go here, I can't go here, I can't, you know. But there are people coming off the street where this is a really good entry point. And maybe through practice and ritual, a God speaks to somebody, right? A God makes himself known. But maybe this is the way they interact with the world. And if it works, it works, right?
It also depends on people's beliefs. Like for me, my belief behind gods and goddesses is that they're simply personifications of concepts and ideals. So I don't necessarily think there's a room up in the sky full of a bunch of random guys being like, oh, I see Ryan over there. He's masturbating. Let's take a off his chart. That's not how I view it.
Yeah.
Those things are different views to everybody else.
So. Yeah. Well, it's the same, like I've said before, I'm somewhat conflicted again because I question whether I believe in reincarnation, yet I've had past life experiences. Mm. So it's like, that is so oxymoronic, but. Right. Yeah.
So how, as a scientist, how do you feel about a variety of the topics that paganism covers that have no explanation, such as the soul?
Mm. So going back a little bit, I did identify as atheopagan for quite a while when I was trying to figure my stuff out. And so that was kind of the space that I could put myself in to still be able to participate in all of the benefits I get from being a pagan and having ritual and having that connection to nature.
That's wonderful. That's so wonderful.
And kind of putting aside the little mental distress from my science-y side and then the gods and goddesses and magic part. It was like, okay, we're just going to do this for a while. But then I have thought so much about this. And it's my thought process is that the scientific method is great and it's super powerful and it does amazing things, but it cannot prove or disprove the existence of magic. It cannot prove or disprove the existence of gods or goddesses. There's no way to test that and say yes or no one way or the other. So I really think spirituality and religion in general is such a personal thing. It's not for science. It doesn't have to make sense to everybody else. It just has to make sense to you.
Right.
Absolutely.
They can work hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And it's your own personal choice. Yeah.
I personally do think they work very hand in hand. But that's just me. That's my own personal belief. But here's the thing that if I ever had any doubt that struck at home for me about, you know, the spiritual world or the natural world and me and our connection is, within the brain, there are specific tissues that are responsible for keeping the heart beating. Correct. And what are those tissues made up of? Well, they're made up of cells. And what are those cells made up of? Well, they're made up of molecules. And what are molecules made up of? They're made of atoms. And what are those atoms made up of? Subatomic particles. And what are those subatomic particles primarily composed of? Energy. Everything is 99% energy. So to me, I'm connected in that creative energy.
Mm.
And that's how I see it. For me, if I can get into my own energy and let it drift into other energies, I can feel those things around me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I see it. That's just me. That's my take on it. And some people see, you know, the old Stardust concept, you know, with nothing new is ever created. We're all made up of each other.
Yeah.
All of this idea, you know, there is some science apparently behind that. But,
Maybe I'm too airy-fairy, maybe.
But no, maybe I'm too harsh.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. That's excellent. Both sides.
This is a little different, but I think kind of what you're thinking, and this is kind of where I come from. So this is an analogy, and I know Brian hates stories. This is like this. He hates those things. But anyway, I come into the room, and you're holding your hand up to here. And I say, what are you doing? You say, I'm talking to my buddy. They want me to grab some milk on the way home. And I go, you're talking to a piece of glass and plastic. Like in my head, that's what I see, right? I'm right, but you're right. And the point is, you need that glass and plastic to have that conversation. But the thing that has value is the content of the conversation that you have to bring milk home. So when I get into a conversation and somebody says, that's not a near-death experience, that's a flood of DMT. They don't have to be two separate things. The DMT can be flooding the brain. And the important thing about that means nothing to a person near death or, you know, wherever they are on that line without the content of what that unlocked within them. The content has the mystical, the spiritual value. The mechanism by which we get it is irrelevant in the realm of spirit. It's necessary, but the value is in the content. Sometimes science and spirituality are hand in hand, I think, like you say, Maeve, and other times you may need that, but the value comes from the spiritual connection that you have with nature. Mm-hmm. The value comes mm-hmm. from the, you know, the relationship and those sorts of things. They do different things. They are viewed differently. And the science part is probably necessary. You need that phone. You need that DMT to have that near-death experience. You need whatever. But from a faith, spiritual, cosmological, where do I fit in the universe aspect, it's the content is the value.
Right.
For us personally. Mm-hmm. It was really interesting in my marriage because Dave was a how does it work? And mm-hmm. I was a why. Why is this important? Why is this whatever? But he always wanted to figure out how, right? So we balanced each other. But I can see definitely the how is important, right? You need to know mm-hmm. how things work. Mm-hmm. The science is important, but not always overlapping. Or not completely. It's not this Venn diagram of a circle on top of a circle.
No.
Right. So we'll talk about this more in the next episode, but we're also, like, we're talking a lot about non-physical concepts. But when it comes to, like, medicine, of course, that's often a large issue in paganism, where with alternative healing and such. Like, I'm a druid. I'm going to mm-hmm. take all my vaccines and take my vitamins like a good little boy. And
yes. Get vaccinated. Yeah.
Get
pro-vax.
Eat my little Fred Flintstones. It'd be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
very much so.
Like, obviously, you strongly believe in that.
Oh, yeah.
I think
definitely.
All of us here do. Like,
well, yeah. But that's like any form of magic.
Yeah.
Whether it's for your health or for prosperity or for relationship or for joy and happiness, you can do the magic. You still have to do the hard, mundane, boring, day-to-day stuff to make that work.
100%. After enlightenment, the laundry.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
You know, like at Little Mysteries, again, we would often have people asking about the spell kits and stuff and explaining, like, if you want a better job, you can't simply do a spell for a better job and sit on your couch and wait for the job to fall in your lap. You still have to put out your resumes. You still have to go to the interviews. You still have to do the hard work. The spell may help something manifest from a direction you didn't expect or weren't aware was available, but you still have to do that hard work. Yeah. And it's the same.
You still have to go apply for the job.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You gotta go make the resume and bring it in.
It's the same with health as well. Like, you still have to go to your doctor. You still have to go to your therapist. You still have to reach out for professional help.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're as lucky as I am, you do have friends who will sit you down on a piano bench and tell you that you need professional help and they are not professionals. There's a little trauma story from my past.
So wrapping up, do you have any more thoughts you want to share?
I just wanted to comment on what Margot just said, because like I 100% agree, and that's totally how I view magic. And so in my brain, in my sciencey brain, I'm like, yeah, this makes sense to me. I'm still gonna put in the mundane work maybe for that job spell, but then I'm like, well, so either magic's real and I'm giving myself a little extra nudge towards that direction, or magic's not real and I lit a candle and did some deep breathing and meditation and like thought about what I really wanted for a little bit. Like at the end of the day, you know, nobody's at a loss really.
Exactly.
So
yes.
Yep. I'm going to keep doing what's feels good to me.
The fact that it feels good to you as well.
Yeah.
You know, even if all you're getting is a little personal calm out of that in our world and that we're living in right now,
that's huge.
A little personal calm is.
Yeah.
But it also, that little personal calm carries you through that interview in a way that you may score a little better.
Absolutely.
For sure.
One of my new favorite quotes I've heard recently is, some call it magic, some call it quantum physics, some call it prayer. No one's arguing that it exists. They all just arguing what it's called.
Yeah. Absolutely. I've seen that recently. That's very, very good.
Yeah.
Well, Lo, I'd like to thank you. We'd all like to thank you very much for coming here. And
thank you so much.
And braving us. You're a very brave girl. And thank you very much to everyone for listening.
Hello, beloved listeners and patrons of Three Witches and a Druid podcast. We would like to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude for your unwavering support of our podcast. With your encouragement, we have been able to explore and celebrate the rich and diverse world of paganism and spirituality. We feel blessed to have had the opportunity to share our knowledge and experiences with you. As we continue to grow and evolve, we invite you to join us on this journey and become a Patreon member of our podcast. Your contribution will help us to continue creating quality content and provide you with more exciting episodes filled with wisdom, insights, and a little enchantment. By becoming a Patreon member, you will not only support our mission, but you will also have access to exclusive content, behind-the-scenes goodies, discounts, and much, much more. Together, we can create a thriving and supportive community. Today, we would like to shout out to our newest Patreon, Sherry A., for donating to our cause, and we would like to welcome them to our community. To all of our amazing Patreons and our supporters and listeners, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being a part of our Three Witches and a Druid family.
Until next time, everyone, merry meet,
merry part,
and merry meet again.
Blessed be.
This has been Three Witches and a Druid podcast. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.